Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
If you're just getting on the highway, eastbound I-496 between Pennsylvania Avenue and US 127, completely shut down due to an accident. Avoid that at all costs. Good evening. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. On today's program, the U.S. Court of Appeals, that is, deciding to review its decision calling Michigan's Proposal 2 unconstitutional. The proposal formerly banned affirmative action in university admissions policies, and we'll talk about that. And it's about 24 hours before the UAW and the Big Three hit their negotiation deadline. What's the latest on those talks? We will find out. But first, you'd think the way the media is portraying the Republican primary race, there are only two candidates at this point, which would be Mitt Romney and Governor Rick Perry. But the field remains wide, with Michigan Congressman Thaddeus McCotter in the race for the nomination. And Congressman McCotter joins me now. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You know, Rick Perry seems to have come out of nowhere. He's now been anointed the front runner. What's your view on his candidacy and the way Republican voters, even here in Michigan, appear to be warming up to him so quickly?
Well, I think we've seen a lot of that. As you remember, Governor Pawlenty came out. He had a lot of support, a lot of hype. And what happened? He's gone now. And I think it remains to be seen whether Governor Perry has the staying power. He's clearly made a good impression upon Republican voters. But again, you know, we've also seen Mr. Romney be ahead, and it's a very volatile electorate. And eventually, I think people want to see what their options are, and then they'll make the determination.
What's the nerve Governor Perry is hitting? Is it his position on social issues? I know he supports teaching creationism in public schools.
Well, he was portrayed as a Republican conservative that was credible, that could be elected, and now you start to see the process, and it can be very ugly at times, of going through the debates and having that record held up for scrutiny. And some of the stuff that you saw last night people didn't like, some stuff they did. And it's part of the process. So people can come in, make a big splash, but whether you can keep your head above water or not remains to be seen.
Now, you and Governor Perry seem to share at least one common viewpoint, and that is that Social Security needs to be dramatically changed. Perry calls it a Ponzi scheme. What's your viewpoint on the system?
Well, I think it's far broader agreement that the system's non-sustainable across its party lines. It's not just simply Governor Perry and myself. And I do not, I call it non-sustainable, which I think is something that everybody talks about because we recognize that the system has obligations and promises that it cannot keep under the current circumstances. So when you start from the premise that across both party lines, people oppose privatization, they oppose raising the retirement age, they oppose raising the payroll tax, and they oppose cutting benefits, you have to try to fashion a bill that doesn't do any of those things. So what I did was I introduced a bill yesterday that would allow for spending reductions in existing government programs to help all the people 50 and younger to start building accounts within the system, personal investment accounts, where they could choose options to invest or not. They do not have to participate, so that we could start reducing the long-term debt of Social Security.
Now, this sounds similar to the proposal President Bush put out there involving these personal savings accounts. How is your plan different?
Oh, it's antithetical. That incorporated privatization. Now, the key to privatization was they diverted some of the payroll tax. And as I said at the time, that unfairly puts the risk onto the senior citizens because they have to hope that the government will borrow the money, pay the interest on it to keep them whole. Because as you know, Social Security is you pay the money in, the money goes out the same month. So what we deliberately did was not touch the payroll tax, which makes sure that seniors currently receiving benefits are whole, as well as people with disability benefits are kept whole.
Mm-hmm.
And so by not diverting it, what you do is you use spending reductions in other areas to fund the startup and allow for the accounts to grow. People who participate are guaranteed no less than what they would have had had they not opted into the new personal investment accounts. And finally, when we talk about the payroll tax, ironically enough, the diversion of the payroll tax through the payroll tax holiday into spending and consumption is like privatization without the savings.
So, I mean, you're essentially, what your plan is saying that we're going to give you as much benefit as you would get through Social Security. At the same time, it's going to save the government quite a lot of money through cuts in other programs. I mean,
and through the investment accounts, which allow them to be invested and start the free market forces to help continue to build up.
But one thing we know about the free markets is they're completely, really unpredictable, certainly in the short term.
Well, we know that they also grow over time, and it's not just my opinion, but the chief actuary of the Social Security Administration, a nonpartisan a bureaucrat that is charged with looking this over, has made the determination that he expects 100% participation in this because under his determination, people would be penny wise and pound foolish not to.
Well, we did see with 401ks that people, some of them very near their retirement, saw some big hits as the market went down. Now, when you're talking about managing these types of accounts, aren't we putting people in a position where they could very well manage their account in a way that would lead to that kind of an outcome?
No, because it's still within the system. It's still within clearly defined options that people have. And I'll point out that under the current system, it's about to go bankrupt and will implode. So according to the actuary, again, not my presumption, but actual arithmetic by the person who was in charge with this, this not only brings us to solvency, but it also increases the benefits that people will get over time.
I'm talking to Michigan Congressman Thaddeus McCotter, also a presidential candidate. Now, I want to ask you about the debates themselves. Now, I know you've been kept out of several debates because of your poll rankings. Do you think your ideas are going to be getting any real attention considering your current ranking among Republican candidates?
Well, it's a catch-22. I've never had a fair hearing. We get a media blackout, unlike yourself, who's been kind enough to allow to talk about the Social Security bill. You didn't see anything on it on the major networks. You didn't see anything about it. All you heard about was whether Social Security should be called a Ponzi scheme or not. So they're into the horse race. And so what they do is when they don't cover you and they don't put you on their polls, they tell you they're more than happy to have you in if you meet a criteria of poll numbers. So you just keep taking it to the people, and the people are very receptive to the message, and eventually you break through the glass ceiling.
You're currently sitting at about 1% in the polls. You've been campaigning for some time. What's your sense as to why you're not garnering more media attention and more support?
Well, I think they've made their determination who they want. If you look at it, the Quinnipiac had me tied or slightly behind people that they had in the MSNBC Reagan Library debate. So to me, having taken the hardest road of all and not had the millions of dollars or not even left the campaign, as some people have already spent millions of dollars and have $400,000 debts and are already out of the campaign, I think that the grassroots approach is going to work over time. And again, you'll be able to break through the glass ceiling of the media and who they determine will be your candidates to select from.
And when you watch the debates, are the candidates coming off in a good way? Do you think Americans are looking at this group of candidates and thinking to themselves, these are some really good choices?
Well, it's up to the people, and you can read the polls, and I'll let the public speak for themselves. I clearly think they're not addressing many of the key issues, including having a written bill that was introduced to do Social Security reform in a way that does not touch any of the four areas that most people don't want to do.
What about social issues, abortion, those types of things that Republicans clearly have a very different position than Democrats do? Do you think they're being addressed sufficiently?
Well, I think all the candidates running are pro-life, the ones that were on the stage are not. I think the Republican Party wants to concentrate on the economy. And I think that one of the things they're not talking about is how the failed Wall Street bailout continues at taxpayer expense and how the absence of credit and the absence of access to capital is one of the key problems that we face in trying to get the stagnant economy going.
If you had to choose then between Mitt Romney and Rick Perry to go up against President Obama, who do you think Republicans should back?
I don't concede that. I hope that I will be the standard bearer of the Republican Party to go up against President Obama myself. As I said before, in other stations, I believe that the person with the hardest road to the nomination will be the hardest opponent for President Obama.
When will voters get to see you in a debate?
Well, that's not up to me. I don't run the stations. I just abide, keep my nose to the grindstone, and try to make contact with the people.
I want to ask you, because this just made news today, then. Alan Greenspan did come out, and like other economists, he said that the Bush tax cuts need to be allowed to expire. I know that's something congressional Republicans generally oppose. What's your response to his statement?
Well, I take it at face value. This is also Mr. Greenspan, who was not afraid that we'd have a housing bubble that would crash the financial market.
I see. So ultimately, though, considering that that's at least one part of the revenue increases that wouldn't involve a direct tax increase per se, rather than just letting cuts expire.
If you pay more later than you pay now, that's a tax increase. And what's going to happen is it's going to take even more capital out of the economy, give it to government, they'll spend it in the least productive place, which is the public sector, and you'll continue to see an exacerbation of our stagnation.
And finally, I do need to ask you about President Obama's jobs plan. I mean, after seeing this debt ceiling debate, I can only imagine how it's going to fare in the House. What do you like about his plan as it's been stated?
Well, it's a double-dip stimulus that I already talked about. My concerns about the payroll tax will be a diversion. It'll be essentially privatization with consumption as opposed to privatization, which even that I oppose in terms of savings for people on Social Security. I think it's a double-dip stimulus. The last stimulus didn't work, and this won't. Again, if you don't fix the failed Wall Street banks and address access to capital and credit, you're going to remain stagnant, and all they're going to do is continue to try to pop up the big government model, which they tried to do with the last one.
Will a jobs plan be approved and passed by the House in some form?
Well, the House Republicans have sent over bills to the president, over to the Senate, and they're still sitting there awaiting action. So let's see what he can find over there that he likes, and we'll start there.
Michigan Congressman Republican Thaddeus McCotter, also in the race for the Republican presidential nomination. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.